Neil, good morning to you. You may approach.
This is for Terrence Neil on behalf of the appellant, Bill Burtis. This is an appeal from ruling by the Board of Equalization based evaluation of agriculture and agricultural land. And I think there's a number of facts set out in the background, but I think that there really are three key facts that inform the analysis. And the most important one, I think, is that in this case, Mr. Burtis filed what's called a Form 456, and this is a special valuation application, and what we used to characterize as a greenbelt application. And then we also have, so that's the first factor. The second factor is that obviously we have to respect the presumption that the Board of Equalization properly faithfully students. And then the third is that we know that the valuation as calculated was done on a per acre basis. So the acres were broken down into their individual subclasses. It wasn't valued based on, at least not broken out by, the production capability of the land. So the only way then to give deference to the Board of Equalization is to find a way to reconcile those facts. And so in our appeal, what we've done is we've reconciled those two pretty possible. The only conclusion that can be drawn given deference to the Board of Equalization is that in valuing the property, even though it was broken down into subclasses, given a value, and then assessed at a percentage of that value, as you would do in a normal market value approach, as opposed to greenbelt type of approach, is that that must have, for the most part, represented also the greenbelt value. Not the normal way of coming to it, but if we assume that the Board of Equalization looked at that and came to that conclusion, we haven't assigned any error with respect to that other than when it comes to waste statement. And the reason for that is this logic within this framework can't extend to a waste statement because in doing a greenbelt valuation, you have to look at what is the production capability of the land. Okay. And we have it broken down by acres. We have the benefit of that.
Counsel, you said we value by production. Isn't the actual language its use? Isn't that the constitutional directive, is that the legislature shall enact laws to value the land as its use as agricultural land, not its production. And then special value goes on, and you value it at 75% of its special value, and special value is defined as its fair market value. So it's not the production, it's what a reasonable buyer would pay for its use, isn't it?
That would be the normal. Here's why it's somewhat confusing, because the term special value and special valuation are used in two different ways. And so what you're describing would be accurate, unless there's a request under 171345 to have a 171344 valuation that comes under 7741.
Well, that your land, your client's land is valued, does have the special valuation, but there's a formula for special valuation. It's
right.
75% of its special value, and then the statutes provide the tax commissioner is to create regs for the valuation, special valuation. Is that how it works?
That is how it would normally work, but I think that it doesn't work that way in a situation where somebody has filed and the county has accepted that form 456. Form 56 says, I don't want to take the 75% of market of actual value. I'm electing not to do that. And instead, and there's a formula for how this is supposed to be done, which has to do with taking revenue, reducing that out, probably reducing the crops. So what you're describing is normal. And most county assessors look at the statute and find a good reason to reject.
Where are you citing what? Can you give me the legal authority for this formula other than the statutory definition of special valuation and then the code valuation as to how you arrive at special valuation. What valuation or formula are you referring to?
Okay, I may not be able to put my finger directly on what I was referring to about how we look at what it costs to generate revenue, but I will tell you that that's within the Nebraska industry. But the...
Under special valuation? Or is that agricultural valuation?
It would be under agricultural, under valuation of agricultural.
Isn't there a special reg just for special valuation?
Yes, but again, I think we're confusing special valuation. I think has different definitions. The typical special valuation, what I think you're talking about, is essentially the market value, and then we give a reduction to those outside, and we take 75%. But there is a separate, and what used to be called green development, called a special valuation also. And that's, unfortunately, exactly how it's described on the form that's still used, is a special valuation application where the landowner has the right to say, I want to depart from the standard form. And those are uniformly rejected by county assessors.
I guess that my ultimate question is, does this county board or any other county board routinely value property at nothing?
No.
And that's what you want us to do.
That's not what I want you to do. Normally, what would happen if a county accepts this request, this landowner made, and once that request is made, it continues in perpetuity until the board or the assessor, somebody says, we're rejecting, you're now disqualified from that type of evaluation. So it continues. Normally, what would happen is you wouldn't have the acres broken out. So this is an anomalous case, because when that type of evaluation is done, which is completely different from what we typically think of as special evaluation, when that type of evaluation is done, you don't break out the acres by sort of class. You look at the production capability. But here, it is broken out by subclass, and assuming that the Board of Equalization did what they were obligated to do, which was to do the type of evaluation that I'm describing, then we have the benefit of being able to look at which acres and what they assign the production value of those acres to be. And when they give any value to a waste acre, having any production value, they've disregarded the definition of a waste acre. Now, if a normal, what I would call a greenbelt, to make sure we don't get confused with other types of special valuation, in a normal greenbelt valuation, we wouldn't have that breakout, and we wouldn't be able to point to that here. So one of two things has happened. Either the request by Mr. Burtis for this type of evaluation was completely disregarded, and the regular special evaluation, in which case...
Counsel, you're asking for zero valuation, though, correct?
I'm not asking for zero valuation.
Why is that in your brief that says it must be necessarily zero?
I'm not asking for zero valuation on the entirety of Mr. Burtis.
No, just on the wasteland.
Just on the wasteland, because I believe that the request that he made obligates the Board of Equalization to determine the production value. And normally that would be as a parcel as a whole, a contiguous parcel.
So you're asking that the board disregard the regulation that says that they look at arm's length transaction for special valuation?
I'm not saying that I'm not asking them to disregard that. I'm saying that Mr. Burtis asked them to disregard that, and they agreed to disregard that when they didn't reject his application.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
I understand that we're confused. Well, so if that be the case, that he's entitled to this other type of valuation because of filing this form, then the only thing we're saying is we wouldn't normally have the parcels broken out this day. But since we do, and we assume that they did this out, the only thing we can do then, we have the rare benefit of being able to look at the individual acres that were valued and say, when you assign a production value to a waste acre, you defy the definition of a waste acre. So those should reduce to zero, and then when you do that, you would be left with the actual production value of the parcel as a whole. That's the last thing.
The foundation for this is that the form wasn't rejected? That puts us on the path that you seek?
Not only was it not rejected, it was accepted. by the assessor. So with that, I recognize that there's some issues whether or not that's the type of valuation that should be applied. But that's our premise. What we have, though, just real quick, I have about 30 seconds. The first acre issue, I think, is important as well, because what the assessor has done and what the Board of Equalization has essentially done is said that if you have a first acre home site or farm home site acre that has utilities attached to it, we're going to add $10,000 to the value of that land. We think that's arbitrary, and the reason for that is that same $10,000 would be assessed on that land even if a house is built there. And the house, the improvement, is going to be taxed separately. So essentially what happens is if you put a house on there and the assessor says, I'm going to value the land, the underlying right, at an additional $10,000 because of the utilities, and then we tax the structure itself as an improvement, essentially taxing that twice. So in this case, if you have an empty lot that has utilities and is in the solar property, that $27,000 is added $10,000 for utilities, value of the underlying right built on that lot is $17,000. So we believe that the $17,000 applies to the first acre on each.
So you're not contesting the $10,000 value as arbitrary or capricious. You're just saying it's being gotten twice if you have a structure built on the property.
We're challenging it as arbitrary in, I think, yes is the answer. If you put it on the land and there's not a structure, I think it's okay. Utility only, no structure, I think you're okay.
You're okay with $10,000?
Correct. So then if you take if you have a structure, one, you're getting taxed twice, and that's to come back off. Number two, take the solely property, and that first acre is 27, including 10 for utilities. That makes a naked first acre 17,000, where this one's a third, whatever it was, 34.
So this is a half mile away.
Half mile away, so what we're asking for is a 17,000, not a 27, 17,000 because we have a house, first acre valuers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Schaaf. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice. It's Scott Andrew Schaaf.
Excuse me. Yes.
Like a middle name. It's okay. I'm used to it by now. So.
I'm sorry. Good morning, Mr. Vandershaft.
Good morning, Court. My name is Scott Vandershaft. I'm the Washington County Attorney. I will try to address some of the things that have been brought up actually today, as well as what we've talked about in our briefs. This is a special valuation case. What that means is, as far as the value and where we go from, we're talking about land that back several years ago got together and created laws in regards to trying to make sure that any interest in regards to industry or urban development wouldn't necessarily be affecting farmland and gave some tax credit, if you want to call it such, in regards to the valuation for special value. Now, where it gets a little strange, and I understand that the appellant might be confused because we're kind of talking about an oxymoron here. In order to get special value, you have to show that it's ag and that it's used for ag purposes. But within special value, you then have subcategories, one of which is waste. And the definition of waste by reg and statute is the fact that it doesn't have any ag value to it. Now, the way that the assessor tries to portion these things in is obviously to go out, take a look, and see what is the land that would be applicable for special value. Do we actually have that? And then by definition, in order to have waste as part of that, it either needs to be included or adjacent to that property. I think what it's, and it's difficult to try and look back to say, well, why was waste listed as a category that's not useful for ag? I certainly don't have the intelligence or the pay grade to answer those kind of questions, but the thing that it looks like is going on here, however, from the appellant's point of view, is that the appellant is not asking you to interpret a statute, he's asking you to add to it. What he's saying is, okay, we have special value that was applied for, and we don't contest that. The appellant actually asked for special value and was given special value.
What is the special value?
What's that?
What is the special value?
The special value is 75% of market.
That's it.
That's correct. And then within that, the assessor found waste that he then put at value.
Counsel, it's not 75% of market, it's 75% of its special value.
Correct.
And then special value would then get into the market value for that particular usage.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that's correct. And when you see the waste doesn't have zero value. There's not anybody that I've researched, I've talked to our assessor, there's not any other county board or any other county that is assessing waste at zero. Or at least production.
Well, maybe this tension is driven by the unfortunate word waste.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I think that's the problem. It's like jumbo shrimp. I mean, you get in the door saying it's ag, and then you end up saying, well, it's not ag for these purposes. And I think the word waste is what causes some confusion here, because it's not truly waste, and waste isn't an inclusive term. It talks about that numerous things can be waste, not the least of which is that the federal government makes a wetlands. That's considered waste, although there would be uses that you can see going forward with that. And the fact that waste can be reclaimed and repurposed for another sort of use. So from that standpoint, what it looks like is that appellant says, is okay, once we get to waste, well, now we need to add another test. Because the way it is now, according to regs and statute, is waste has a value. Our assessor then takes, looks at other counties outside of what would be greenbelt or special value in order to determine what other counties are doing as far as waste goes. He assesses that value per acre on land that is considered to be waste. From what at least I read from the appellant and the way that I take this is what it sounds like they're asking is we're almost a means test that when you get to waste, that you have to determine whether there's production value in regards to that land. I think it's a red herring. I don't think it makes any sense because, again, we're now adding a test to a statute that already tells us that we do it per acre. This is what waste is. And, again, it's not zero. I think if you start looking at what the appellant is saying and you start saying to yourself, okay, well, now we do a means test to look at production. Well, what does production mean? What does it mean to do a profit? There certainly was evidence at TURF that the individual, Mr. Burtis, that owns this land, lets people come and mushroom hunt.
Are you being taxed on the value of the land as it's assessed as the type of land, or are you simply being taxed as the property as a whole? In other words, certain farmland is taxed higher than other farmland, isn't it?
That's correct, within subcategories.
All right, so what category is wasteland?
Waste is determined by the assessor as land which has no economic value or not suitable for agricultural or horticultural purposes.
So no value, no farm value. You're taxing a farm at 75% of the value of the property as assessed by the assessor. And wasteland under that category has no value.
Well, you can't say it has no value. All land has value. Now, taxable value, unless it's exempt, you would be correct, Your Honor. But in this case,
we're
all valuing, land has value.
We're valuing this as a farm, aren't we?
Well, you're viewing it as a one parcel that has within it waste.
You're valuing it as agricultural land.
Correct, under special
And
value.
Some part of that could be taxed at one value. Another part of it could be taxed at another value depending upon the class of land involved.
That is exactly right. There
right.
is parcels within here that
and
are taxed at one
And there is a class
value.
Of land within this parcel that's classified as zero.
Classified as waste.
Waste land.
Correct. Right. Doesn't mean it doesn't have use. It just is classified as waste. And again, I think waste is a term of art here. It's not an actual waste. It's not a
so
nuclear
I have,
waste.
Suppose
it's
I had 80 acres of waste land.
I'm sorry?
Suppose I had 80 acres of waste
okay.
land. What value am I going to be taxed at?
Well, you would have to fall within the definition one of special value. Are you with it adjacent to or within the actual property itself? Because if you aren't, you are not going to get special value to begin with. You're going to get actual value. So you don't get to the subcategory unless you are either within a parcel or adjacent to it. Mm-hmm. So if you had 80 acres of waste, And there wasn't anything to do. One, you'd have to see if you could do special value, so we don't even get there. And two, if you could, well, then you would be categorized as waste, but you'd have to be part of a larger parcel, or at least adjacent to another. In regards to a couple other things that have been brought up by the appellant, clearly what we're trying to do here is have uniformity and equalization. Again, I think in closing on at least the waste category, should you get into a situation where you're adding a means test, I don't think you end up with uniformity and equalization. What you end up with is, depending on what year somebody claims to have produced or not produced, you can see fluctuations of what could happen from year to year. There is the issue that appellant had brought up. I'll cover two parts. One is the property as it relates to another individual's property, Mr. Sully, and that is from different tracts. Now, in the brief, the appellant seems to suggest that because he's a half mile away from him, that is a comparable property. The evidence at TURF, as well as what we talked about in the brief, is that these are not comparable properties. Mr. Burdess's property hangs on a cliff or a bluff area where it is higher and has different things going on with it than the Sully property. The Sully property is actually almost riverbed and has issues with water, has issues with wells, has other issues that make it not as conducive or attractive to a buyer as what Mr. Burdess's property would be. And that is why it is not a comparable. Not only is it not in the same region, we have regions that basically because of Greenbelt and the proximity of Washington County and and Douglas County with the metro metropolitan area. So you have there the different areas, and although they are within a half mile, certainly they are not by any means comparable when you look at the way the property is laid out and what a potential buyer might want to do with that.
Let me take you back to maybe my question wasn't the right question to begin with, but in this case, all wasteland within this area is being assessed at $290 per acre.
Depending on which tax year you're talking about, Your Honor, at 450.
Well, I understand, but everybody in that county who has wasteland is being taxed the same amount.
Correct.
And then there are other classes of land that are taxed at higher rates.
Throughout the county,
the county.
Correct.
And so that's what was done in this case.
Correct.
So your argument is that they're treating everybody the same. Wasteland is this value, and we've assessed everybody that value, so that's what you're going to pay for the wasteland on your property.
Correct.
Okay.
How was that number decided?
Well, we have the assessor goes out to several counties. One of the counties being mentioned would be Burke County. He looks at what their waste, what the things are they're doing there. Then he takes that and has to extrapolate it to us because, again, we are closer to a metro metropolitan area than what Burke County is. And so what he has done is looked at the fluctuations in value between different counties, and that is how he came up with the number. And obviously it increased from the tax years 2013 and 14 to what is 15 and 16, what we're really talking about today. The other two tax issues were conceded by us that we needed to change those. But
I'm sorry, just to refresh, 13 and 14 were vacated.
Correct,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
there
you.
Had been a declassification within the waste category that the Court of Appeals suggested was not accurate, so we went ahead and changed those. It was unfortunately too late to catch up. I know I'm running out of time. I will leave you with the $10,000 issue that appellant brought up. Very quickly, it's the difference between living in the city and the country. In order to have a house, you build a house, you put it on foundation, you have to have hookups for sewer, water, electricity. That adds value to land, not to home. If you lived in the city, the valuation would have already been included in what you buy because the purchase price and things, the hookups are already there. So the appellant is inaccurate. It is not being charged twice. This is not a situation if that house burned down and you went to go rebuild it, well, it'd be more attractive because the value you added to the land with those improvements. It's not then again added to the home. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal?
No.
There is no time for rebuttal.